Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration, where true paranormal investigators come together. Real topics, real people, real truth. With your hosts, Bill and Chris Reese. Monday.
That's right. It's the only way I know what day of the week it is anymore.
I know, right? It's Monday, and with Paranormal Collaboration, it's time to, do our thing. So
here we are. Happy Monday, everybody.
It's going to be a great show tonight.
TGIM.
Hi, Amy. Amy Green, our producer, is here.
Hello. How are you?
Queen.
Hello.
She's down there where it's like 70-some degrees. For us, it's like, screw you, Amy. For some people, we're going, hey, I'm down here, too. It's nice here, too.
Heat wave.
Woo-hoo!
I was out in a sleeveless shirt today. I was
shorts?
Yeah. No flip-flops yet. Too much.
But then there's poor Josh out there in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And he's...
Yeah. Tell me about it, right?
He has started wondering if he's living in Alaska at this point.
You know, like, honestly, like, the past, I think, 2 days now, it's been, like, over the freezing mark. So it feels like a heat wave. So I'm thankful for that anyway. We're seeing, like, a little sunshine. So that's good.
It's so amazing how, you know, we go through summer and the temperature dips into the 50s and we're bundling up with coats and building fires and getting all warm and toasty. And, you know, it's 0 degrees, 10 degrees, we hit 30 and it's like t-shirts and shorts, yes!
Yeah, just ridiculous.
Yeah, I'll give you
now
one.
I know, like...
You know,
last week it was like 27 degrees and I was in hog heaven. I had to take out the trash and I walked outside without a coat on. I'm like, yeah, this ain't bad, which is terrible because it's still not above freezing.
Right.
And I'm like, this is not cool. Like, my body is acclimated to the point that I now think 27 degrees feels like comfortable. Like, that's stupid. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
But, you know, it's the weather's crazy, and, you know, I will never, ever investigate in shorts ever again.
Mother Nature's menopause. I fully understand.
Oh, no, we went to, I don't know if you've ever been there, Josh, ever at Fort Mifflin?
I've never been there. I've seen a lot of it, though, like on TV and stuff. I've seen a lot.
It's an awesome place. We went out and we did an event in Fort Mifflin in October. Now you figure, okay, it's October. It's fall.
Yeah.
I wore shorts. It was a nice day. You know,
it was beautiful.
It was a beautiful day. The mosquitoes loved me.
Oh, nice.
Fort Mifflin, word of advice, if you ever go to Fort Mifflin, bathe in DEET before you get there.
Yeah, 100%.
Roll in it, bathe in it, drink it, whatever you have to
nice.
Do. There, with airport, it says destroyed the bat population, and it's all marsh around it. So these mosquitoes are the like hummingbirds. And
oh my God!
It, they go for you.
They love me. Well,
that's terrible.
Is Josh hurt? So Josh is, you know, the second episode of Haunted Locations that we're doing, because you know what, we talked to all these great investigators.
And they're awesome,
but we never get to talk to the places,
the
proprietors that are haunted,
of the
and the proprietors
haunted
and the people
location.
Who are the caretakers
of
these fantastic locations. So we decided we were going to do it, and we figured, three or four people would be interested in talking about their location, and, like, we're booked until and it's awesome because this is the side of the paranormal that no one really touches. And Josh, we are honored to have you with us tonight.
Absolutely.
And
my pleasure. I love it.
So why don't you tell everybody about you and who you are?
My name is Josh Hurd. I am documentary filmmaker. I'm an author, lecturer, all that fun stuff, and now co-owner of what we call Malvern Manor in Malvern, Iowa. I guess I'm more like the, I don't know, chief cook and bottle washer over there, for lack of a better term. I'm the guy that vacuums the floors and doesn't do a very good job of it. So,
hello?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, there we go.
We lost our,
okay.
We lost our mic for a second.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty awesome. There's a lot of haunted places in Iowa, and we were talking about this before the show. It's like Iowa just went,
yeah,
boom.
Yes.
And like all these people are wanting to go to Iowa, and, you know, we get asked, when are you going to come down to Iowa? And, you know, it's funny, we were out earlier. I came home, and Chris is like,
I want to go to Malvern Manor now.
And
the place is insane, you know? And like, that was kind of like my thing is, you know, I fell upon the place, like complete, total accident, guys. Like, to the point where it's like you stop believing in coincidence, right? It was almost like it was supposed to happen, which is a very odd thing to say. But, I mean, I was filming my very first documentary film, and we were across the street at this place called the Classic Cafe in Malvern. Really cool place. They have a slew of, like, paranormal happenings, and they were nice enough to say, yeah, come on in and film, you know, and that was it. I walked in there and I apparently didn't do my homework because I didn't realize there was a bar that's attached to the place. And, you know, because of that and the fact it was a Friday night in small town Iowa, you know, people were relaxing, I guess, or settling in for the weekend. But they were quite loud, you know, so with noise contamination and loud music and all that fun stuff, like, we could not investigate. There was just no way. And so I went outside and I was smoking my angry cigarette, you know, like trying to come up with a plan B. And we had this guy that was standing outside smoking as well. And he was like, hey, dude, what's up with all the cameras? And I was like, oh, God. Like, this is where I lose a lot of people, right? well, we're filming a documentary on, you know, ghost hunting and paranormal activity and strange happenings and things like that. And he's like, oh, wow, that's really cool. He's like, you know, I have this place that's kind of creepy. Some weird things happen. I can't really explain it. He goes, I don't really believe in this stuff. So I like to try to explain it all away as much as possible. And he was telling me the history of this place and how it was a hotel. It was the fourth structure that was built in the town of Malvern. And as a hotel, its primary function was servicing the railroad. So people coming and going all the time. And then in the 1950s, it became what we would consider to be like a nursing home. And then in the 70s, it became a group home for mentally handicapped people. And we're talking everything from people with, you know, drug and alcohol abuse to people with schizophrenia and who have murdered others in the past. Like, this is a very odd population of people.
Wow.
Coexisting together under the same roof, you know, like, this is interesting. And he's like, yeah, the place is like 10,000 square feet. And so my eyes are getting wider by the second I know this. And like, I'm like, where is this place? Because it sounds way too good to be true. And he was like, oh, it's just right there across the street. And I'm like, yeah, pretty sure we just became best friends, buddy. You know what I mean? he was nice enough to let us in for the night. And, you know, for the purposes of filming and paranormal investigation and all of that fun stuff. And I mean, we had experienced so much that first night that I fell in love with this place and almost to an unhealthy level. You know what I mean? But it was, again, like complete happenstance. And he called me one day and he said, I'm moving. Like, I got another job offer. I have to sell the place. And I was like, hang on a second. I got together with some like-minded individuals, and we got together, and luckily we're able to purchase this building, you know, and keep it open, keep the doors open for other teams to come and investigate and hopefully share share activity and different things that have happened, and then try to correlate evidence as much as possible to see if we can find any commonalities in all of this, you know?
You know, that, you know, everything happens for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
And that's an amazing story. So how did you get involved with the paranormal in the first place?
So, yeah, I've always been interested in the paranormal. I was the kid in school that was always reading those books, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
I was always infatuated with just scary stories and paranormal stuff. And it wasn't until I had lost an uncle. And I was about 12 years old or so. And just kind of at that peak of your youth where – now you're finally able to understand and comprehend the finality of death. And the fact is that my uncle was, you know, one of my best friends, and coming to terms with the fact that, you know, he was gone, and I'm never going to be able to really speak to him again. There were some very odd things that happened surrounding his death, specifically the 2 to 3 days surrounding his funeral, where we were experiencing things. In my house, I was experiencing things. My family as a collective was experiencing things together. And this really got me scratching my head, like, okay, like there is something else far beyond what we just comprehend in life, right? We don't just live and then die. There's something else going on here. And man, I tell you, like at that age, you know, 12, 13 years old, diving into then the works of parapsychologists like Hans Holzer, and reading the works of like Ed and Lorraine Warren and their case files and things like that, and really diving into this stuff hard is kind of a terrifying thing when you're just at that age. But man, I mean, that's what really got me going on this was, you know, his death, the loss of him, and then reading all of the works of these other people who have all, you know, come before us and really paved the way for what we do now.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what really set me on this path, Ren.
You know, and, you know, we can agree with you because, you know, Scholastic Books, man, on every Friday, get your little slip and fill it out. And it's like, oh yeah, I want Sasquatch. I want Yeti. Oh
yes.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, when we were able to, you know, we have access to all of these phenomenal books for those of us who were a little bit on the weird side.
Yep.
Darn right, man. I love it.
We steered you in the direction that, you know, you had the kids who were getting, you know, Nancy Drew and Hardy Boys and that kind of crap.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then there's the rest of us over here with the Bigfoot files.
I love it.
Our favorite.
I absolutely love it.
Too, you know?
Oh, that's amazing, though.
So, you this place basically fell into your lap.
Yes.
You know, it helped. You know, you started to, you know, research the building, the property, and everything. What have you found about what makes Malvern such a hotbed of paranormal activity?
Dude, you know, it's so interesting. Like, I ask myself that same question all the time because I think it's so important. Like, historically, we get the story correct. You know what I mean? And so, like, one of the first things that I did was I invited some of the former nursing staff to meet me at the building, and no agenda on my part whatsoever. Just walk me down memory lane, please. No, let me get a feel for what the day-to-day was here, you know. On top of all of that, we then hired a private detective. He did a 3-week-long investigation where I told him to quite literally dig up everything, good, bad, and otherwise, because we want to see it all. And from there, you know, we would decide what's tactful, you know, to present to the public, right? Because there's a lot of these stories that obviously we just can't tell because it's, it's pretty nasty. But the one thing that I keep going back to is we're always trying to find the antecedent for activity. What is the root cause of activity? And honestly, like, the one thing I always say is whether you got along with the a-hole that lives across the hallway from you, who's keeping you up at all hours of the night or whatever, whether you get along with that guy or not, you're still going to bed the same time. You're still waking up roughly the same time. You're still sharing every meal together. There's camaraderie in that. There's family in that. And at the end of the day, you also have this building that is home. And, you know, in what could only be considered a chaotic and hectic existence for these residents, a lot of them have been written off by their families. You know what I mean? Like, drop them off and it's out of sight, out of mind, which is just tragic. But that was home, you know? That was their constant. That was their one constant that they had, was that building.
Okay, here's Sin Dishes.
What's
Amy?
That?
What?
Who's doing dishes?
Who's doing dishes?
Oh, that was
Nobody's
my daughter
doing...
getting a glass of water. Sorry.
I was like, nobody's doing dishes over here.
Mary's
No.
No.
going to the history of the location and talking about the residents there, you know, you have the hotel, which catered to the railroad traffic. And then in the 1950s or so, around that time, more cars were on the road. So the train became less used. It wasn't the primary form of travel. After that, it shut down and became, you said, a home for the mentally ill, the schizophrenic, the paranoid delusionals. And let's look at the time period, because in that time period, we hadn't advanced in psychology as far as we have today.
Correct.
And
correct.
The treatments that were being administered in those times were very vulgar. There was electric shock therapy. There was,
and that was pretty standard, yeah.
Hydrotherapy.
Right. And when you think about the fact that this was, you had murderers, you had rapists, you had criminally insane, along with people who had everyday issues that weren't
very much
so. All dropped in this place. Now, the thing about this is, you have all of this, it's a minimum care facility. It's not a maximum care. Minimum care, basically, they wheeled them in, they did their treatment, quote unquote, to try and figure out what was going on with people. People were neglected, and people were treated horribly during this time period, which in some logic, they thought it was a truly the right way to treat, humane way to treat these patients. But we look back at it, it was barbaric, a lot of it. And
very much so, yes.
So they were, you know, this was done. They were flat back in the day room or in their room. And so you have all this energy from the, sometimes it was a disease that, you know, ADHD, a hyperactive kid was considered mentally ill. Because they didn't know what to do with them. So you have all this energy coming into focus in one place. And we're talking not your everyday, it's Monday, it sucks. You have the mentally ill, all this energy combining in one location.
Right.
And I don't remember reading, is there water close by?
There's a river, but it's not, I mean, it's not necessarily that close. It is within... within about 10 miles or so, there's a river that goes through.
So you also have this river going through with, and water flows that creates energy. So, I mean, you have all of this coming together in this one place. I mean,
it's kind of like the perfect storm, right?
Yeah.
Now, yeah, for sure.
The property is on any of the ley lines.
See, I haven't actually like done much research into that yet. I mean, that idea in theory like fascinates me. My biggest issue that I'm finding is trying to find the ley lines, because there's a few different things out there that would tell you where they're at or whatever, but it's which one do you trust? You know what I mean? That's the biggest thing that I'm running into. If you guys give me information on that, that'd be great.
Our researcher is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, this woman writes the Library of Congress when need be. She's a pole with a bone. And so, Heidi,
greatest
you're listening.
Ever.
I want to know about ley lines, geographical, topographical maps and stuff like that. So we'll have some information. Bill sends her stuff and she'll say, well, I'm kind of busy right now, so it's going to be a few days. And half an hour later, there's 80 minutes full of information. And she's like,
that's amazing.
Surface, so.
That is so cool.
I know there's a few different energies that have been encountered numerous times. Tell me about those energies that.
It's kind of interesting too. It kind of depends on where you're at in the house. So going down this long hallway towards what we call the nursing home wing, the section of building that was put on in 1956 to kind of accommodate that nursing home setting. But on your way down that hallway, you come to what we call Gracie's room. Now, Gracie was one of those exotic type of cases. We know that she was what we now call DID, or multiple personalities is what they used to call it, I guess. But she was also, she had schizophrenia on top of that as well. So a very chaotic type of mind state. Now, we do know that, she was institutionalized the majority of her life. So she really didn't know any different as far as that. But many times, the nurse's station, which is just a few feet away from her, they would hear male voices coming from her room. Now, for obvious reasons, they had to go and check that out because they couldn't have a guy in a girl's room at all. That was a big no-no. But they would walk in there and they would find it was just her. It was just Gracie. But she was able to shift and manipulate her voice to make it sound male, which is medically fascinating to me, just given the differences between male and female vocal cords in general. Being able to do that, it's fascinating. We also know that one evening in particular, three nurses came and sat down with Gracie and documented 13 separate personalities, which, is medically unheard of. The wheelhouse is about 2 to 5, right? So for her to have 13, it kind of begs the question, if this small town facility was the proper fit for her, or she probably could have been better serviced elsewhere. I'm just throwing that out there. But
I can't even imagine 13. I can barely deal with the 4 in my head.
I'm telling you. And, it's ridiculous if you think about that, right? What she must have gone through mentally, physically, emotionally, just my God, the torment probably on this woman.
Wow.
And not knowing any different, not knowing any better, or not knowing that it could be better, my God. But now then you keep going down into the nursing home wing, and that's where people are running into what we call the shadow man. And the shadow man is one of the more terrifying things that does happen. But all the way down this long hallway, at the end of the hall is room number 2. And what is happening is this very tall black human out of room 2. He will turn, very clearly you'll see this figure turn, and then he will charge at you. And I'm telling you, this is a very unnatural movement, in the distance from 40 feet, basically, 35 to 40 feet. It's traveling that distance in less than a second. It is moving that fast. And so you see something very tall and very black coming at you that fast. Like, obviously, our normal reaction is to duck and cover and scream and wet our pants and run away and all that fun stuff. But, you know, the second you turn away, the second you break that concentration and look, then the phenomenon's passed. It's done and over with. Nobody is getting hit or scratched or punched or any of that crap. It's just quite terrifying to see that happen. Now, it was interesting, too, then, looking into more, again, looking for that antecedent of activity. One of those nurses, because that hallway got a lot of airtime during paranormal lockdown, right? So when they stuck Johnny Hauser down there all by his lonesome.
Right.
But it was interesting because the gentleman that occupied room number two was 6'7". He was a nonverbal patient, so he couldn't speak. He was mentally deranged, and he had killed a few people in the past. Like, this is a dude, they didn't even really help him put on his shoes in the morning, you know what I'm saying, just because he was actively going to try and hurt you in some way, shape, or form. But his claim to fame was whenever they were doing bed checks and rounds, is he would come out of his room, and he would chase who was ever doing the documenting. Now, that's fascinating to me because we're seeing similar behaviors here, right? Like, almost suggesting then something residual in nature.
Right.
The only issue that I'm coming across, though, is that we're unable to correlate a time of day, a month, a day of the week, a moon phase, for God's sake. Like, we're trying everything that we possibly can and coming up empty-handed thus far. So that fascinates me more than anything. It really does. So, I mean, that's the hallway back there is pretty much like one of my top two least favorite sections of the house to be in. You know what I'm saying? I hate it back there.
Now, you said when he comes at people and the natural reaction is to duck, jump out of the way, or go, oh, shit.
Correct.
Has anyone tried standing their ground, knowing that
it's fascinating. Yeah. So the first two times this happened to me, I was just going back. I was minding my own damn business is what was going on. I was walking back there with a vacuum cleaner, and this thing, it happened right there. So I dropped the vacuum cleaner, and I take off. I'm like, screw it, done. Need a smoke break. Call it good. But then I had a very similar thought as what you just mentioned. And so I stood back there. And I stood there for 3 solid hours by myself, middle of the night, practically begging for this to actually happen because I wanted to see what happens when we don't flinch, we don't run, nothing. Now, the interesting thing is this guy comes out of the room. I see this. And now I'm starting to get the butterflies in the stomach and like, oh crap, here we go, bro. Like, you've been asking for it. Like, here it is. And he comes at me and he comes at me so fast that it's so fast. It's so hard to even fathom what is going on in front of your face. Right. And even process what's happening. So I didn't run. I will say that I did not run this time. However, I did flinch. And so now I'm still a little pissed at myself because I realize I have to do this again. Like, whenever I get the testicular fortitude to do so, I will absolutely do that.
I'm picturing when you say how fast he's moving, I'm picturing one of those movies where they have like little gnomes or trolls.
Oh God!
How fast they move,
oh,
and it's little.
Right. And it is so weird because it doesn't look real. Like, I can say that. Like, it doesn't look real. It looks like something out of a CGI movie or something like that. Something you would see like out of Hollywood, right? Like, it doesn't look real. It is so unnatural that you're still trying to even process what the hell is going on before it is said and done. It's done and over with at that point, you know?
Wow.
Now, are most of the experiences that are occurring within the building, Are those all associated only with the healthcare facility, or is there also some things that you feel are you're linking back into the 1800s to the hotel?
So there is one. There's a couple, actually, in particular. The first one being who we affectionately refer to as the captain. Captain Cullors was one of the original owners of the building. He was also, you know, coincidentally, one of the first people to really come to the area and settle, you know, really build a family and a life and put down roots. Very protective gentleman of this building. A lot of people up on the second floor will hear very audibly, what's your business? Things like that. They will also hear, I mean, straight up vulgar language telling them to like F off, you know, and things of that nature. I will also say that up on the second floor, people are specifically in his area of the house. People are getting punched, scratched, kicked and bit. Very odd stuff. Now I will say this too, like this is usually after they have been provoking in some way, shape or form. So I'm not necessarily saying they're asking for it, but they're maybe kind of asking for it a little bit. But he is very protective. I will say that for sure.
What was the background of the captains besides being the owner and one of the first to settle there?
Dude, that is my ultimate goal is to get this gentleman's life story. And as of right now, I'm coming up empty handed, but so there's a historian that lives in the town of Malvern, mm-hmm. right? Super nice gentleman. He really is, but it is kind of fascinating. I think he's a little afraid of me because every time he sees me coming up to him or whatever, he goes the other way. It's more humorous than anything, but like, it's like, dude, I'm really just trying to get some information here. Like, I really am. it's like, I'm really not trying to scare you or tell you a ghost story or anything like that. I promise. Like, I'm just trying to get some info here. So I am working on that because ultimately what I want to do is get his full bio, you know what I'm saying? And then present that as a whole. It's very important to me that I'm not presenting people with false information. You know what I'm saying?
You know, that's
so
important.
I want to have it all in a nice little package, and then it's like, ah, here you go.
Because so many locations just go by a lot of hearsay, and you know, okay,
right.
So, you know, there's a local legend about this, and you know, I feel every legend has a shred of truth.
Yes.
But
yes,
you know,
absolutely.
But to base, you know, authenticity upon it is not very good. It's like building a house in the sand.
Exactly. It's like you don't want to, and that's one thing that we don't ever want to sensationalize something, right? We don't want to sensationalize it to the point where people are just going to think that this is an attraction, for lack of a better term, I guess. I don't know. Like, it's an attraction, sure, but it's not like a theme park. You know what I mean? It's
better than a
it's like
theme
they're
park.
They're yeah. Tell me about it.
It's been, yeah.
Right.
Okay. Put your hands and legs inside the car. Yeah.
Oh yeah. True that. No. I just give people the tour, and I wish them the best of luck. I'm like, see y'all. See you later. Here's my phone number if you need anything. There you go.
But so, you know, that's I commend you on doing the research and trying to put out a total story, and you know, just taking the time to have the old staff come in and kind of just pick their brains and kind of get a little bit of the backlog. That speaks volumes about your passion for that property.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the most important thing there is, you know, we need to tell their story because they obviously want it told. I think it's important that we do them justice, you know. I mean, hell, maybe then they could have a little piece, you know.
Well, absolutely.
Which would be amazing.
I think a lot of times, you know, maybe spirit just wants the correct story put out there too.
Yes. Yes. And see, and that's an interesting thing too, bro. Like the story with like one of the most active spirits we have at the manor is a little girl that we have just called Inez. And it's interesting because we were getting this name. We were getting this name over spirit box communication and EVPs, specifically this girl calling herself Inez Gibson. So looking into this a little further, and especially having our detective look into this, he found that there was a 12-year-old girl named Inez Gibson from Malvern, Iowa, who was found hanging by her jump rope in the closet. Now, everything that he could see led him to believe that this tragedy happened at the Cottage Hotel, as it was called back then. Now, looking deeper into the story, I can tell you 100% definitively now that Inez Gibson never died on property. She died a block and a half away from the property, but she did not die on property. So now you start to ask yourself, so why would the spirit of Inez Gibson be here? You know what I mean? Like, what would make her want to be here? And then you look at, she died December 21st of 1900. And in 1900, that building was kind of the place to be. It was very multifunctional, multipurpose. With the railroad coming through, they also had dances and seances and everything like in this place. Funerals were held in the place, and weddings were held there as well. But it was a very multipurpose building. So maybe she was just attracted to the location from that standpoint, possibly. Now, there are other investigators out there that would suggest that maybe it's something a little more malicious, something that makes you want to think that you're addressing a 12-year-old girl, maybe not with the best of intentions. Now, I will say nothing really malicious has happened concerning Inez, but it is interesting, you know, to entertain. So that's like become the biggest unsolved mystery that we have there. It's like, who was this little girl, you know? And what's her story and blah, 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 you know? And it's just to die in a very tragic death that most newspapers around the area ruled as a suicide, which I don't know. Like, she had a very hard life in her 12 years. I do know that.
Wow.
And I can't speak to the mental capacity of a 12-year-old girl in the year 1900. It was a much different time. I mean, shit, some girls were often married, you know, at that time.
Right.
So it's very, very difficult to see what's really going on with her. But she does claim to be Inez Gibson, and she does answer to the name Inez Gibson. So, I mean, for all intents and purposes, like, I just go with it, you know? Like, okay, here we go.
I think we should come to Malvern Manor on August 6th.
August 6th.
I don't even know what day of the week that is. That's her birthday.
Wait a second, I'm checking. Oh, dude, that'd be sweet. That would be sweet. I'm looking at the calendar right now. I'm bringing it up. I'm trying to. We're booked. I'm sorry.
Anyway, we're gonna work something out. We're gonna come down there because I'm sitting here and I can see, and Chris has been going on and on all afternoon, you know, because you know we do everything that we do in the paranormal. A large part of it is based around history and preserving history and the stories and getting the correct stories. And, you know, and that's important. You know, Chris was talking about Heidi, our researcher. Heidi wants to get a big bull that we can drag around with us. And when we find out that they're fibbing on something, that we could just slide the bull.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bullshit. You know, but, you know, it's important. You can't just base your story on stories.
Right.
You know, they need to be factual. And
exactly.
You know, have a location, you know, a location like yours is fascinating because It's like an onion. It has a lot of layers. It was so many right. different. I mean, look at the heyday, okay, as you described it, the railroad yeah. and big functions and, you know, the spiritualist movement and seances and funerals and parties and right. dances, where you went from this glorious, happy, you know, center of town kind of this is where we need to be attitude, which is could be why Inez is drawn there, or awesome. we go to the dark side where we go to, you know, the care facility and the things that happen there. So you have yeah. the light and dark. So yes. it's a really and you have two totally different stories on two totally different scales.
For sure. For sure.
Is there a basement?
So there are two basements of the manor. One of them is all dirt, and it's straight out of like Texas Chainsaw. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh God, like even going down there, you're like, Jesus. But there's another
Wait.
Basement then.
That section
yeah,
under,
it's amazing.
Is that section under the section they added on for the elderly?
No. So that section actually does not have a basement to it at all. This section is underneath basically the original guts of the place. And then you have the other basement. Now, the other basement is more cement and things like that. That used to house, like, the boiler unit and all of that. There's also a small little workshop area down there for whoever the caretaker was or custodian staff or what have you. So that is down there. Just crazy stuff. So cool, though. So cool.
Hello?
Those rooms, being cement and the boiler room, the workshop, was there a morgue underneath? That you know?
Not a morgue. You know, it's interesting. and not a lot of people know this story. So in just the adjoining wall, basically, like you could tell at one time, this used to be just one giant basement. Now, they have, you know, since, you know, they bricked up one part of it and whatever and then made it all the cement. But it's interesting because the adjoining wall to that section is basically right underneath what we call the lobby of the manor, which if you walk in, it's all wood and like it's the original floor of the place. So, I mean, it's quite old and rustic, you know what I mean? Like, it's so cool. But directly underneath, like in the lobby itself, and anybody that comes and visits can plainly see this, there is a section of floor that doesn't quite fit. It doesn't quite belong there. And you can very much tell it's been replaced. And it's quite interesting because then going down into the basement area, you have to get into a crawl space and you have to be, I mean, there's no room to even roll onto your sides, but you have to be on your stomach and crawling. But underneath that section of floor, there is no remnants of a staircase whatsoever. And what's interesting is it's very loose dirt underneath there. And it's just a room, basically a room full of dirt, if you can imagine that. And so you brush this dirt away, and it was interesting because we had a group of investigators come and visit us, and over the spirit box was telling them buried alive, cellar, dig, things like that, you know. And so they called and asked me permission to go into the basement, into that specific section, and sure enough, they found 7 different bones in a 2-foot small little section. So, obviously, wow. We had to, you know, get the police involved and all of that fun stuff. Of the 7 bones, they were able to tell us that 3 of those bones were, in fact, animal bones. But the other 4 were kind of giving them pause because they don't appear to be animal, just because one of them very plainly looks like an orbital-type bone of somebody's face, maybe. Like, very, very interesting stuff. But I mean, it really makes you wonder what would happen if we went in there and just got rid of all the dirt and what we would find, you know?
Yeah.
And if that's any potential cause of a haunting, you know, somebody definitely with unrest, you know, things like that, a wrongful death, perhaps. I don't know.
Now, I can't wait to get there because it's not often that a property is mentioned and I immediately want to look it up. I want no information about its history, and something is just like pulling, just kind of pulling.
Yeah.
It's like usually that happens after I've been at a place and I get a pull to come back. This is like, come see us.
Right. It's interesting because, and that's pretty much what happened to me. You know, I set foot into the building, and then from that second on, I never wanted to leave. You know, I'm like, this is bordering on unhealthy. You know, but it is what it is, I guess.
So your most
memorable
paranormal experience there?
Well, definitely the Shadow Man. That fun stuff. That's more memorable. Now, I will say, like, up in the attic, going into the attic is my absolute least favorite section of the building. And it's very odd because people react different ways when they're up in the attic. The majority of people just walking up the stairs, they will feel like a tightness in their chest. Well, then about 20 to 30 minutes later, that tightness in their chest becomes a very nauseous feeling in their stomach. And we've had plenty of people, you know, toss their cookies up there, which makes for a super fantastic day for me.
Bottom of the step.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting, though, because the second then, if you are feeling queasy, the second you get to the bottom of the steps, you feel great. You feel fine. Like nothing has happened to you. There is something going on up there, and something that does not appreciate the company of others and will do anything to get you down those stairs and out, for sure. There's a lot of growling. There's a lot of scratching. There's a lot of death threats that are coming from up there.
Wow.
It's bizarre. It is bizarre up there. So that's, you know, some of my more memorable experiences have been even myself, like, feeling physically ill. And I'm there all the time, you know, like, giving tours and all that fun stuff. It's just like, it's almost too much sometimes. But it's just a very odd feeling just walking up there, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely something interesting. And there's so many different things that go on in these locations that, you know, we don't know what we're going to get, what we're going to come across. And you piecing together the stories are awesome. And, you know, and then throwing in, when you talk about tours, because we got about 12 minutes left. I know you have another engagement to get to. But, if there's, you know, what ties in? What kind of tours do you do there? What do you actually do there?
So as far as the tours go, like I check people in. I have them sign a waiver. Basically it just says, you know, if you fall down, it's not my fault. But I walk them through the building, and I point out the different aspects of paranormal activity and things of that nature. But I'm also giving them very deep history lesson. You know what I'm saying? At the same time as we're walking through. So they're getting the history and they're getting the claims of activity, which a lot of times just go hand in hand, which is so cool. But then after that, I mean, that takes about 20 minutes to 30 minutes or so. And then after that, I just turn them loose. And I say, you guys can check out whatever part of this building you want. It's all yours. You know what I mean? Just do whatever you want. I'll be downstairs trying to be as quiet as possible and, you know, to address any questions or anything like that you guys have. So I mean, it's basically like you listen to me ramble for 20 minutes and then you get the place to yourself for a few hours if you'd like.
Well, you know, that's a lot of fun. And, you know, definitely, you know, we were talking, I mean, this place sounds amazing. I mean, you have quite a gem there. And I know you say you don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, so many people are coming up to Iowa. Well, I can tell why a lot of people are interested in your location now, because you've done your homework. And, you know.
Oh, I appreciate that, man.
It's cool to come in and be able to say, okay, look, I have this equation, and this is some of the things that I have that I know. These are my knowns, you know, but there's a lot of unknown. And that's, you know, that helps, you know, investigators when they go out and, you know, to do a location, you know, they should be researching and trying to figure out what's going on and find things in the history and ownership and all that stuff. And even, you know, check out the land, what was on the land before the hotel was there. You know,
try to
put all these pieces, and you know, you've done a phenomenal job. I mean, you know, you talked about the two different sides of the building, one being, hey, you know, at one certain time it was this booming hotel, and then it became this facility, and it's just totally different. And like Chris brought up about when you guys were talking about, you know, the mental health care at that time, you know, at that time, you know, the criminally insane did get placed in homes. You know, they didn't go to prison.
Yes.
You know, now, you know, all these mental hospitals are pretty much closed. So now they're in the prison system, which makes it interesting. Chris and I both worked in the prison system. And so it's definitely, you know, an interesting, you know, mixture of people. So there, you know, there's a lot of story to be told there. So how can people get in touch? How can people find out more about Malvern?
Yeah, so if they went to themalvernmanor.com, that's our website. They can check out some of the stuff that we have there. Trying to update that as much as possible. We always do, you know, fun events and things like that. We just had Steve Gonzalez from Ghost Hunters come through and do an event there, which was a lot of fun. You know, different things to bring the paranormal community together, and we can all work together and for the common good, you know. But yeah, if they check that out, they can also look at our calendar, which is right there. They can pick a date, and if you choose a date, it emails me directly. And so I'm kind of the guy you're dealing with. But we get you on the calendar and go, you know.
No, that's awesome. And definitely, you know, we're going to be filling up one of those dates with you to raise some money to get two new furnaces.
Dude, right? Tell me about it. Man, we got to get the heat on in that place.
Okay, nope, guys.
Like we have a small section. We have a small section of the building that is heated and fairly comfortable. But man, the rest of it is like very, very cool.
what type of restoration did you? I know we only have a few minutes left. What type of restoration did you do?
You know, honestly, man, the most that I have done is we're trying to make the building as structurally sound as possible. As far as everything inside the manor that you're going to see, it is exactly the way I found it when I first walked into the place. Like, I feel like from just an investigative standpoint, it kind of adds a little more to the integrity of the building. And I want people to experience this place exactly the way I experienced it. You know what I'm saying? So the most I have done is I marked the wheelchair placements on the floor with a line of tape, and that's it. So. It's very rustic. It's very gritty in some places, but yeah.
Well, you know, that's awesome.
I can't wait.
Yeah, we're definitely get in touch with Chris and I this week, and we'll sit down. We'll hash something out and come down and I
cool. loved
it. Amy, what do you think? Road trip?
Sounds good to me. This house sounds so next level. It's fascinating. Cool. I would love to go. Yes.
Right. I already have it probably in my, I can easily say in my top five favorite places already.
Oh, that's
We're
awesome.
There yet.
I know, but something's just something I got to go.
Yeah, I knew I was
yeah,
in trouble.
We'd love to have you guys. Absolutely.
I knew I was in trouble when I walked in like that. We have to go to Malvern.
It's the way it goes.
Are you guys open for this? Are you guys open for this all year round?
Yes, we are. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Now I will say we probably won't be doing walkthrough tours during the winter months any longer.
Mm-hmm.
But we're always open for overnights for sure.
Okay.
That's awesome. Well, Josh, we appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to sit and chat with us.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It was great.
This is so great. Definitely love to have you back on again. You could spend a little bit more time because we didn't even scratch the surface.
I know, man. I know.
We're there.
But yeah, anytime. I'd love to come back. Absolutely.
Sure. You know, just reach out to Amy. Amy's got the schedule, and you know she'll work something out where we can get you back in. That'd be awesome.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
In August, closer to when we're going to get there.
Actually, we could do August 5th, the day before her birthday. We could maybe do a spirit box session live.
Might be booked.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
For Monday.
That'd be sweet. Yeah, let's just check the calendar and get after it.
Yeah. But, you know, thank you very much for coming in. Please, you know, check out Josh Hurd on Facebook, Malvern Manor on Facebook. Check out their website. Book A Day of Investigating.
And I have to say, I was looking at the website today and the rates you're asking for teams to come in is definitely very fair.
Oh, thank you. That's good. That's good to hear. Yeah, I'm always nervous.
Yeah, no, I looked at the prices and I was like, wow, that's not bad at all. I mean, shit.
Good deal.
So definitely, you know, if you're going to be in the Malvern area or you want to get out there, reach out to Josh, set something up, go to the website, pick a date, and let us know how it goes.
Heck yeah.
Thank you so much, Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Thanks.
Good night, Josh.
Take care. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to Power Collaboration with Bill and Chris Reed. We've been talking to Josh Hurd about Malvern Manor, Malvern, Iowa. Cool, cool location. We definitely need to check that out. And
if you want to go with us at some point, let us know, you know, so we can...
Well, Josh definitely wants to have us come out, so we're going to look at some dates. And
I'm talking to the VIS out there, our very important stalkers, you know. You guys are interested to pick up Malvern. You know how to reach us. you know, this one, I'd love to bring the whole team together, you know, which is hard to coordinate because, you know, we have Mish
We're scattered all over the country.
In the West. We have Amy down south and
Stephen down
Heidi,
south.
Stephen's down south. Heidi's up north. Janet's a little just north of us and... Here we sit in PA, so, you know, we're going to do our best to get the whole damn team out there.
I'm excited about it. This place sounds fascinating.
Oh, it's great. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm always more excited about this than the idea of getting to Winchester House.
Oh, yeah.
And y'all know how I feel about
it. It sounds like this place, you pretty well have the run of the place. Winchester, I'm sure there's limitations, so.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, but yeah.
Yes, of course, there are a lot of limitations. You know, you go down a hallway and suddenly there's a staircase to nowhere. So.
Right. Or you open a door and don't step out because you're going to end up on the sidewalk in the front of the house, you know.
Right, breaking another leg.
No more breaking for you.
Oh, hell no. You know, there's very few people I would wish this on.
Oh, yeah. No.
Although I have to say, I'm walking without any kind of aid today, so, and yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We're on a roll.
There you go.
Know, this has been a lot of fun talking to, you know, different haunted locations and getting their information. And, you know, Josh didn't even scratch the surface. And I mean, he just blew it up for the short that he was here. And, you know, we appreciate it. But,
yeah, and there's so many more locations out there that we're going to be talking to over the next month or two. And
next week we're going to be talking with the Wildwood Sanitarium in New York, which, you know, Lori's coming on and her daughter Brooke to share their experiences, you know, on this very haunted location. And we're looking forward to talking with them as well, because, you know, that's always been a place that's kind of intrigued me.
Right. And, you know, that's a place that, again, you have those energies of the mentally unstable, or what was considered mentally unstable in those times, which now is kind of a typical everyday thing. And we just throw movies at it now instead of electroshock treatment or something like that. So that's going to be a great location to go to. And one of the things I love about that location is it's right near the Avon Inn.
Oh, and my goodness. Oh,
oh, yeah, there we go. Amy and Chris are like, okay, we're going to eat. And Mitch was like, oh, yeah, I'm hungry. Yeah, let's go.
I tell you what, that place was rolling. That was so good.
Oh, my God, the food there was incredible. If you're ever in the area of Rochester, Geneseo, Avon, stop at the Avon Inn, have a meal there. You may not leave.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. Beautiful place. Great food. Great people. The owner, Jennifer's, was awesome.
Yes, the owner's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Staff was amazing. And hopefully one day we can do an event there. It'll be a limited invitation only kind of event. But I would love to hopefully do that in the very near future.
Yeah, that's, you know, we have, you know, so much stuff coming up. I know at the end of this month, we're, where the heck are we? History and Haunts down in Maryland. That's going to be a lot of fun. Great charity event down there for the Historical Society. We're looking forward to going there. And where else?
Salem Con.
Yep. Mark and Warren do a phenomenal job. So we're going to be, you know, in Salem, Mass. And a great time at Salem Con. You know, a lot of great people there. You know, can't wait to see some friends that I have not seen in a very long time, like Scott Greenwald,
Jeff Conkle,
Mish. Hopefully, Mish will find her way there.
I'm hoping she will. She and I talked about it a couple of times. But she doesn't know for sure, but hopefully, she will.
You and I may have to take a trip out there and just put a bag over her head, put her on a plane.
Yeah, please don't use
I'm good with that. Let's go do that. Not flying.
And then on the following, that's what, April 5th, we're going to be at Salem Con. And the week after that, the 13th, we're with Brian Cano down at
Fort Mifflin.
That's going to be a good time.
No, it's spring. It's going to be wet. Get to deep. Get on Amazon.
And then, you know, we got, you know,
swan dive in it, buy stock in it. It's going to go.
There you go. I'm going to bathe in it. I'm not wearing shorts.
Oh, no.
Wear a shirt with sleeves.
They'll eat you up out there. Dang.
Yeah.
As someone once said, what does Bill Reap bring to the team? Well, I'll tell you what he doesn't bring. Sleeves. Man never wears sleeves.
Yeah. I may wear sleeves at Fort Mifflin.
Oh, I think so. I might wear gloves and I might get a mosquito net.
And I'm excited to be back there because that's another fantastic location. I mean, we got so many great things coming up. I know we got some locations we're going to be investigating in New York and in Missouri, in Arizona. I mean, we have so much coming up. You know, follow us on Facebook, Reap Investigations, Reap Investigation Events. You know, follow, see where we're going. I know Stephen is working on some locations up in New York. Heidi's working on some stuff. We got a lot to do.
Yes, we do.
And a lot of places, and we're looking forward to, you know, and we're finding so many new cool places.
Oh my God!
Like there's a couple in New York. We could stay in New York, and they're all in a pretty close proximity. We could stay there for a couple of weeks and have a ball. We could do Hinsdale House.
Oh,
Avon
Inn.
Definitely
on my list.
We could do Hinsdale. We could do Wildwood Sanitarium. We could do Greystone. I cannot wait. I want to get to Greystone. Rolling
Hills. They have an episode coming up.
Yes, I know they do, and I can't wait.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And even Rolling Hills, you know, they're all right within that little area. We could stay there. It'd be like, you know, people go for wine tastings. We could just go for paranormal tastings.
There we go. That sounds good. That sounds good.
Immersion therapy.
Yeah, and hit every one of those. We need like a month in New York. And
yeah.
I know, you know, Palmyra, Iron Island, all of those places are not too far from there either. I mean, literally, we could definitely spend some serious time in that area.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And we could go down to Iowa and go to Malvern.
Yeah.
And then we could go to Georgia because we got to get
to Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah. And Bigfoot, why we're there, go to the Bigfoot Museum.
I mean, there's so many wonderful places all over the country. And, you know, if you know of a hidden gem that needs, you know, more teams coming in and checking the place out, hit us up. Let us know. If you have a place that you want someone to come check out, I don't care where it is. Let us know. You know, if it's in the U.S., we'll drive there. If it's not, we'll swim or take a boat or a plane or something. We'll get there somehow at some point. I know we're trying to get to the UK and down to Australia to our friends Heather Moore and Clam O'Day. And they've got a number of places down in Australia that they want us to come down and check out.
And we need a boat.
And over in the UK, Kelly Chalk and Fraser, you know, they've number of locations they want the whole team to come out and hang out and do some investigating out there, and that would be awesome. We'll go international.
Yeah,
there you go.
And it's so cool to talk to. I love what we're doing so far with, you know, this only being the second week I'm talking about locations, but I mean last week was a blast, you know, talking to Jennifer Kimberly with the Sister's Tea House.
Yeah.
We could be there. That was awesome. And then I talking to Josh, and it was just like rapid fire, boom, 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 boom. And it was like, wow, this place is awesome. And then, you know, moving right along, you know, we have some phenomenal locations, and, you know, and these guests, you know, are so excited to talk about these locations.
And Texas, I mean, they're all over the country, and everyone. All these locations, they're all over the place. And we need to, you know, I don't know, start a link or a page where everyone can post different locations. Look, that...
there's so many places people don't even know about. And, you know, they're easily accessed. And, you know, when you talk to, you know, proprietors like we've been talking to, you know, they love their buildings. They love their history. They're doing their homework. They want to know. You know, they're looking for answers, and that's awesome because as paranormal investigators, what are we doing? We're looking for answers,
right?
So, you know, it's a lot. It's, you know, it's a lot of fun.
It's been a good year.
By the way, Greystone Manor is April 22nd.
Okay.
Excellent.
I can't.
If there goes April. We're booked.
we're booked solid. But next week is the 360 house.
The next week is Wildwood Sanitarium.
Brian Jones.
And then the week after that is 360 house. Yeah.
Oh, did I skip? I skipped a week. My bad. I'm sorry.
It's the day after our holiday. The day after St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, okay. My bad. I skipped a week. All right. Okay. I skipped a week. My bad. All righty.
Well, we want to thank everybody for listening tonight. You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration with
Chris and Bill Reap. And as always, have a wonderful night.
You forgot our producer, Amy.
And Well, I haven't gotten there. Okay. No, wait, you do it.
No.
I'm not doing it now.
Okay.
I'm going to go over here and throw a tantrum in the corner.
Well, you know what? Let's say happy birthday.
No.
To Chris Reap. Chris celebrated a birthday. Over the weekend. And so
yay!
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, it was a wonderful weekend.
It was.
My hubby spoiled me. And my folks threw an absolutely wonderful dinner. And shout out to my dad, who was responsible for the balloons for my birthday.
They were awesome.
So there was a happy birth, or it's a girl balloon, then four happy birthday balloons. And since I broke my leg, this birthday was represented by a get well balloon. So my father, very creative, and had a hard time explaining to the girl that it was for a birthday party. And
but
she's
why
like,
it's a girl?
But it's a girl. Is it multiple parties? No, it's one party. Multiple people? No, one person. Shout out to my dad.
So, yes, thank you, everyone, for listening to Paranormal Collaboration.
With Bill and Chris Reap and our amazing, lovely, my sis, Amy Green from New Orleans.
Who survived Mardi Gras with the Southern Gypsies.
Who survived Mardi Gras with
the Southern
Gypsies.
Yeah, that's a T-shirt. I heard they're selling them all over. I have to talk to them. You know, all these people are running around New Orleans
wearing shirts
that say, I survived Mardi Gras and the Southern Gypsies.
No, it was a blast. It was a blast.
Actually, I think they're not only doing T-shirts, but they're doing a line of garbage bags.
Garbage bag clothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not only are they fashionable, but will keep the rain off of you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can pick up roadside trash.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
all right,
everybody,
guys.
It has been a wonderful evening.
Yeah, thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you all next week.
Same time, same place, same bat channel.
Yep. Have a good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Night, guys. Night, guys.
Good night.
Good night.